Hello and welcome to episode 67. Need to make a point of that so I remember that's actually what it is. Divided by werewolves. Yeah, so apparently, as per usual, last time I posted the show with the wrong number in the title. I'm very bad at this. Like, people always ask me, not always, rarely have they asked me. Maybe I've asked myself, hey, why don't you do like a Patreon or something? And I'm like, well, two reasons. One, I'd be really disappointed at how little money people gave us. And two, I feel like if you're asking people to pay for something, you probably should get certain things like the names of directors or movie stars. Correct.
Perks, production value.
And you might consider knowing, like, getting the name, the number of your show. Like, you know, basic things. You know, stuff like that. Once you start asking people to pay, you can't just be like, hey, man, fuck you, you get it free. Not that I would say, fuck you, you get it free. I would never say anything as dismissive as that.
If we got $1 a month, I would be over the moon.
I think we'd get a dollar. I think you and I would each pledge a dollar just so the other person didn't feel bad.
Sure. All right. So if we got $3.
And then we'd both be like, oh shit, we're up to $5. And then we're each like, well, $2.50. You know?
Exactly. We're just exchanging the $2.50.
We're just giving each other. Right? It's your month to give me $5. No, it's your month to give me $5. Anyway, all right, we have a lot to talk about, so I guess we should just get right to it. So, yeah, we have a lot of movies, a lot of games per use to talk about. The moment I've been waiting for quite some time finally came, and that is the moment when I could play Crackdown, so I could make fun of Crackdown.
Yeah.
Having experienced Crackdown, because all this time I've just been like, this game's gonna suck, and it's all just been speculation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and on the one hand, I was like, well, if it's good, like, it's kind of win-win, right? Like, if it's really good, then I'm wrong, but the game's really good. But if it's not really good, then it's good because I was right, and I should probably be a little bit ashamed to say I was kind of hoping for that one. And that's the one I got. I would never begrudge anyone's opinion, like why they like stuff. Lord knows I like things that,
sure,
you know, maybe aren't quote unquote the best, which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with liking something that you know isn't good, right? Like,
yeah, I love garbage.
Me too. I don't understand people who kind of look at this game and go, yeah, it is a good game. That's the thing that honestly I don't get, because I think it's just okay. I think our talk about Crackdown and Netflix last show is spot on the money. I think this is the you know, the kind of Game Pass version of like Polar, right? Like I mean, there's probably people who watch Polar and were like, yeah, it was all right. You know, it wasn't bad. It's free, you know, whatever. And there's some people who'd be like, no, it was really cool. And then there's some people who'd be like, this sucked. Right. You know, and I think Crackdown is the same way. I mean, I don't honestly, all of
that is correct.
Right. I mean, I guess it's like there's no story. Like, all of the story gets told at the beginning. All right. of it. And it's like, okay, you're a super agent, come here. And then you go to a town and it's just like, oh, blow shit up. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, is that what you want? Like, $60? Like, really? Like, $60?
Yeah.
You're gonna
That's my thing, right?
You know, you're going to spend $60 on go blow a whole ton of shit up? Like, like mindlessly? Like, you could get, you know, oh, shit, what's that Broforce? And blow shit up for, like, $6. You know, you could get the original Crackdown. They gave it free. And blow shit up willy-nilly for nothing.
Right.
You know, and I mean, it's colorful and I mean, it's, you know, whatever. But I don't understand why you would kind of uncritically be like, yes, this game is good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sort of the thing. My issue again, being the old man, it's yelling for people to get off his lawn and give him his physical games. It goes back to that for me for the Game Pass. We're like, well, yeah, you can play it through Game Pass, and that's great. But you're going to play that, what should be a $20 game, and I haven't played it. This is just my watching you play it and the things I've seen online about it. It's a budget title at best. You're paying $10 a month or whatever it is for to play that. And you don't own shit. Like you
right.
And would you have paid at the end of the year when you look at what you played through Game Pass, would you have spent $120?
No, exactly. Right. And I think that's the thing. People go, well, yeah, but you could get it for like a dollar. So you get it for a dollar, you play Crackdown. And I get that, but that's not that. There is a reason why the Game Pass for a dollar deal came out at the same time as Crackdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what they're hoping is that you get Game Pass and then you forget that you have Game Pass and you just keep it.
Yep.
But I mean, and it's not even just the how much, you know, open world games have changed, although that's a huge, huge part of it. Like, I mean, I understand like some kind of the retro, but they're not, you know, for me, like I never understood the retro thing. To me, like if you like a game is good because it's a good game. If it has retro stylings, then that's one thing. But if you can have retro stylings and still have gameplay for the genre that's either new or at least, you know, kind of up to date with what people have been doing. And Crackdown 3 is, I mean, it's Crackdown, which is is fine, except for the, you know, you can't tell me that when they started to make this game and they started talking about the destructiveness and the cloud computing and all that shit, that they were like, oh no, what we wanted is just a new, just Crackdown 1 in 2018. Like that, nobody was asking for that.
Like, yeah, that's something I've noticed watching you play it. That game 100% looks like a game that's been in development for 10 years or however long it's been.
Right.
It has none of the advances that gaming has made since they started making it.
Right.
And it just boggles my fucking mind. I'm like, what the fuck? What were you doing? Like, what took this long for this to be the end product?
I don't know if it was a situation where they're like, well, we need to do this whole cloud computing thing. Like, we have to, you know, we have to try to get this worked into it somehow. And then they couldn't. And they're like, well, what can you do? And they're like, oh, hey, remember Crackdown? Well, we can do that. It'll look better.
Yeah.
And we're going to have two completely, you know, it'll look better. And you can jump into somebody else's game, but if you're not smart about it, you'll completely fuck up your own. But, you know, whatever. It's cool.
I don't know how much better it looks. Maybe I don't remember Crackdown 1 that well, but I think
anytime you do like a kind of a cel shaded thing, like that goes a long way, right? Like if you look at the original, you look at Red Dead and you look at Red Dead 2, you're like, yep, those are totally different platforms, totally different games, you know, whatever. But yeah, you look at some cel-shaded, you're just like, maybe? Like,
yeah, cel-shading is something that's a really cool thing, but it's hard to make it look better than it already looks, I guess.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, like, if they redid Wind Waker, you'd be like, wow, that's a fucking amazing-looking cartoon.
It's
pretty much the same. You know, like...
Yeah.
you know, and I mean, I'm just like... And I'm not saying, like, you've got to have something like Assassin's Creed or Red Dead Redemption 2 that's, like, you know, 800 hours or whatnot.
But, right.
I mean, my God, like, the fact that there is no story. I mean, it's just literally, you know, it's Terry Crews. I love Terry Crews. I think he's fucking great. It's Terry Crews being Terry Crews. And then there's a cutscene. And then you get dropped in a city. And then you just go from, you know, kind of place to place. And... just kind of blow shit up, and then you blow up enough stuff, and then they're like, yay, you did that thing. And then they want you to blow more shit up. But there's no story at all. They're just like, you know, okay, well, here's this lieutenant. Okay, you know, great. Good for him, I guess. And then they won't shut the fuck up. I swear to God, I don't know. Lord. Like, I can't imagine what the stream must sound like, because it, every other thing is, will you shut the fuck up? Like, I don't know how many times Commander, you know, whatever, Numbnuts has to tell me to get a fucking agility orb. I know how to get the fucking orbs. I get it. Right? I'm in the middle of getting an orb, and you're like, go get that orb. Bitch, I just got the orb. Like, literally, right. It just exploded. It just finished on my face, and you're telling me to go get the orb. I get it. And then, just like the woman who won't shut the fuck up about these goddamn towers, looks like it's on a sequence. Bitch, I'm on my sixth one.
I'm on my
12th attempt of this fucking tower. You think I don't see it's on a goddamn sequence? I'm not right. Like, are these eight is part of the regeneration process? Do you get some sort of like short-term memory loss or like some kind of like Alzheimer's or something? Like, I know what I'm doing.
I almost kind of wonder if they expect people to start it and get bored with it quickly and put it down for months and then come back, because I noticed that, like, watching you play. I was like, right, because I'm like, you know, I remember playing Bastion and playing Sunset Overdrive once you unlock the narrator, and that was fucking great. Like, it added so much to the game. It was fun.
The narrator in Bastion, I mean, that dude is fucking on point. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And so it was interesting to me to be like, well, man, I enjoyed the narration.
Even the original Crackdown.
Yeah, and those games was so good, and in this one, I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Good God, we got it. Like, because they're just giving basic, like, tutorial tips.
Right.
Fucking, you're 6 hours in.
The time. Like, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that blows my mind. It'd be one thing if they were just like, you know, whatever. They would tell you different things. But then for them to tell you the same thing all the time it makes no sense to me.
Nope.
But anyway, I'm still playing it. I'm curious just to kind of see, like, as you go on, you know, kind of how it goes.
the final boss. This is a boss, Agent.
Exactly right. Well, and that's the other thing, right? Like, you kill a boss, and they're like, oh, we locked down the city. Now you got to fight a whole bunch of robots. Not like, oh, here's a fucking cool-ass gun.
Right.
Or here's a new power. Yeah. It's like, oh, you killed this boss. Well, you know what else you get now? Tedium. Oh, wow. Thanks, man. That's great. Awesome. You know what I haven't had in this whole fucking thing? Tedium.
Right.
Awesome. Thank you. Love it. Love it. Love it. So, anyway, I don't get it. I think this is exactly like this is if you're like, I'm so excited for Crackdown 3, and then you're like, you know, I'm kind of worried about Game Pass, and then you play Crackdown 3, I think you'd be like, fuck. Like, but what do I know? I didn't pay for it. I rented it. I don't give a fuck.
It certainly didn't sell me on Game Pass. I can tell you that.
Yeah. And here's what could sell me on Game Pass, and this is not, no lie. Like, if all these rumors are true, and they're like, Game Pass comes to the Switch, sure. Like, because sometimes, like, when they offer deals, you can get, like, 2 years worth. So, like, when they offered for, like, $3 a month or some shit like that, and you can get 2 years worth, yeah, why not? To have something I can play on the Switch if I ain't got anything on the PS4, or to use my Switch essentially as a way to stream games for, like, where I work out, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? But as a $10 a month proposition, when I already have Gamefly, and, that's a rough, that's tough.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I hear you're playing Trials.
Man.
I've tried Trials.
I love me some Trials.
I think for about 30 seconds. There must have been a version of PS Plus or some version, something free, something whatever.
Yeah, it's been on PS Plus.
And I was like, nah. Like,
yeah. And on paper, I should have said the exact same thing. The exact same thing. I don't know. I can tell you when I started playing Trials HD, the very first one on 360. We were at, I don't know if we were in Tennessee or somewhere that wasn't here that had that store Five Below.
Oh, yeah. We have it here.
And so it's down closer to me now than it's ever been. But it's still like I have to drive to Columbus or at least like an hour or so. Mm. But we were out of town and we went in there and they had Xbox 360 games, and Jacob got really excited, and Katie wasn't old enough to give a shit about anything. And there was this demo disc, like this Summer of Arcade.
I remember those things.
It was like $5, and Trials was one of the things on said disc, because I had to buy it because he got so excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he put it in, and I'm watching him play it, and I was like, he's really bad at it. I'm
yeah.
like, son, this is all you have to do. Like,
yeah, give me that thing.
Yeah, give me the goddamn controller, right? So I ended up playing that thing like for like 2 weeks. That's all I wanted to do were the few tracks.
And they're
the
like, Dad, can I play? TV. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Anybody well, ask can't. You?
You know what? Get good, scrub. Then you can play.
Filthy casual.
So for I hate racing games. And if I do play a racing game, I need it to be an arcade one where I never have to take my finger off the gas pedal. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is a simulation. It's a racing game slash platformer somehow, but you're on a motorcycle, physics based. It's very realistic. It's so fucking addictive, though, that I buy every time they put out a new one. I buy it day one, and I get hooked on it, and I'll play it forever. Like, mm-hmm. I was still playing Trials Fusion because of the track editor and the fact that you could download tracks other people have made.
Okay.
I get so fucking addicted to the game that I can't play anything else when a new Trials comes out for a while. So, yeah, Trials Rising came out.
Come on up for the rising. Sorry, it's my Bruce Springsteen. That's a great song, by the way.
I like it.
Love that song.
Go ahead. So this one ditches the because the last one they tried to do a pseudo story, which was weird.
Why would you do a story in Trials?
Well,
this is a story of a paraplegic who tried.
Right? It was almost like a Portal 2 thing.
Oh, well, should I play that?
Because sadly. Every time a rider finished a track, because a lot of times at the end of the track, you die.
Like you'll
get hurled into. Yeah, you'll get hurled into something after you finish, and it'll murder the shit out of you.
I can see why you like it. You're like, life is pain.
Yeah, like... They'll throw you into explosive barrels at the end of the track, or they'll drop shit on you, or you'll just go fucking flying. And so it's always funny. But so the last one, they attempted to do this like story because there was a narrator, sort of like Gladys from Portal,
mm-hmm.
and she would talk to you while you were riding. It was like, oh, did you miss a jump? No worries, rider. We'll start you back over at the checkpoint with a new body. And it was like, oh shit, they're uh-huh. clones.
Oh, okay.
This is like a simulation or something. The computer is like putting these clone bodies through to like gather data or whatever and shit. And it got really fucking weird. So this one's back to basics. It's just tracks. The cool thing about this one is the tracks are like it's on a world map, so it looks like Forza Horizon. So there's different
cool.
locations. So you're in like you're in Spain. You're in Hollywood at one point, and you ride through like a movie studio and shit. And the track goes through different movies. So there's like a sci-fi movie, and there's a western,
that's cool.
shit like this. Yeah. And but it's pure Trials, man. If you like Trials, this is a game for you.
If you like Trials, you'll love Trials.
Yes. And they don't do anything to change the formula that much. This is like pure Trials.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing they do add this time is like, I think they call it like Trials University or something. They actually give you like a fairly extensive tutorial, and the tutorial exists in like stages or like sections. So the game, because you know, Trials starts off fairly easily and then it gradually ramps up to the insane.
Is it a gradual ramp up, or is it just like you did three tracks, you feel pretty good about yourself, now we're gonna murder you?
It's very gradual. I would say most of it's fairly easy through medium.
Oh, okay.
And then especially if you have a grasp of how the physics work in the game and how to lean your rider and do the things with your bike. Hard's where I start getting like silvers on tracks and bronzes, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But like I'm looking for gold or platinum through everything, at least through medium.
When you play, do you rap my ambitions as a rider?
Of course. Of course. But, I mean, I do that when I play everything, not just try.
So, you don't want to fuck with me.
I can't deny it. I do every game. But even like so the way I play Trials is I'm not trying to be a hero, right? I know I can do the hard tracks. I get to the first insane track, and I do that one, and I stop. Right?
Why?
Because they're insane for a reason. Like they
So I think I get where you're coming from, because I've had that happen too, where I'm like, you know, I'm enjoying this experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stop myself.
Yep.
Like I know that if I keep at this, I'm going to no longer enjoy it, to the point where I just hate it and I like it too much to take it away from myself.
And because I know there's an infinite amount of tracks being created by people with the track editor, because they give you the tools they build the game with for this track editor. So everything they did, technically you could do something on that level. Mm-hmm. And so people who are way more talented than me do that.
Gotcha.
So I have a never ending
supply of tracks
for new tracks. Yeah. And I never have to do another insane track. I do one. The only time I did more than one, and I blogged it back when I was still blogging, was there was an achievement in the second one. Mm-hmm. To complete a extreme track, one specific extreme track on the bicycle. And
like a Huffy?
Yep. Yeah. 100%. So what I did, I unlocked the bicycle, and one of my favorite movies of all time is Rad. And so I did the paint on my bicycle to look like Cruise bike when he rode Hell Track. And that's exactly what this was riding fucking Hell Track. And so you get, I think it's like an hour or 500 faults, whichever comes first. And I finished that fucking thing when I finally did it.
What do you mean?
So faults is when you crash.
Right. But I mean, like, what do you mean? Like you get an hour.
Yeah. They'll just stop you. Like, you know what? You haven't done it. Just fucking stop. Please stop.
They're like, right? No, player, you're done.
Yeah, you're killing yourself. You're going home. But I finished it at like 58 minutes with like 460 faults when I finally did it.
It's like when we would do whatever, the fucking Ascension thing or whatever it was called.
No, the Ascendant Challenge is fucking kindergarten compared to what I went through doing that extreme.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, there are certain – you know, for the most part, I don't – like everything you're telling me right now, I'm just like, yep, that's what I remember about Trials. That's why I don't play Trials. But, you know, I also at the same time, like, I distinctly remember when I played the last game Criterion did, the Need for Speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I did every challenge for every car.
Mm-hmm.
All of the gold races, I did those. And I mean, I'm talking in the Konigsberg, Mafloofa Boofa, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, man.
I mean, every
cars that I only get to in demos.
right. Every gold time in that game, I did it. And I got it. And it was, I mean, I remember my wife would watch me, and I would be like, nope, restart. Like 3 seconds off the block. Nope, restart. Nope. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I know. She's like, well, you can't know 5 seconds into it. I'm like, I know 5 seconds into it. Because five seconds into it, there is a turn, there's a this or that. And if I didn't hit it right, I know what that means.
Exactly.
Most of the time, when you're talking with Trials, I'm just like, fuck that. There's no way I do that. But I've done that. Like one of my greatest gaming moments, and I know it's not a big deal, Driver San Francisco, which I still to this day I think it's one of the best
fantastic
driving games ever made.
Yep.
Is when I did, I got all the challenges for that game, because there was like the one of the last races you could do is you had to, at one point, you had to come up this road. It was a blind, hill. Mm-hmm. And you had to cross like 4 lanes of traffic. You couldn't see. You had to trust that you were going to be able to react on the fly and do what you had to. And I remember just you come up that hill and you just barrel across 3 lanes of traffic, and then it kind of goes from there. That's only like a third, or maybe, you know, maybe halfway through. And I just remember when I finally got that, I was like, I only have like 750 points in the game. I think I got all the single player achievements, but it's the best. Like that's one of the things. Like I'm not, you know, being proud of playing games. It's kind of like, yeah, whatever. But I mean, holy shit, I did that. I was so like, I was over the moon when it was the same thing, just over and over and over. Just nope, retry. Nope, retry. Nope, retry. Yep.
That I worked on that fucking track for weeks, if not months, mm-hmm. on that bicycle. And when I finally fucking got it, it was euphoric, man.
Yeah.
Like, it was such a thing. And I was like, I'm done. Done with Trials Forever, right? And then, like, the next week, though, I was like, let me download this new user track on hard. Like, I could do those. So, but just to finish up on Trials, there's one thing, and this is genuinely my first true disappointment with the Switch. Is
You're playing on the Switch?
No, I'm not. I had planned to buy it. I bought it on Xbox, and I had planned to pick it up on the Switch because, like, to me, the ability to sit here on my couch while I'm watching hockey, play Trials on the Switch is fucking amazing.
Right.
But thankfully, I watched Digital Foundry and Game Explain their reviews of Trials.
Uh-huh.
And the lack of analog triggers ruins Trials on Switch.
Oh, because you need that ability to moderate your speed or whatever.
You're either going full throttle or you're stopped.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it's like apparently, thankfully for people who bought it on Switch first, if you play docked and use the GameCube controller, the GameCube controller is the only Nintendo controller with analog triggers.
The Switch controller? That fancy Pro? Switch controller? That doesn't have it?
No.
Oh.
According to their reviews, it does not. The only way to play Trials right now on the Switch and play true Trials is the GameCube adapter and the GameCube controller. So I was like, well, shit, I don't play docked 98% of the time.
Only time I play docked is if I'm working out.
Yeah, for me, it's like if Katie wants to play Mario Kart.
Right.
Otherwise, mine's handheld. And so I was so disappointed that I can't play Trials on my Switch.
Well, at least you found out ahead of time, right?
Exactly, before I spent the $25 or whatever.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is more than I could say for Crackdown 3, but here we are. Anyway, so real quick, one thing I wanted to get into, because so y'all know I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan, and I think Odyssey has taken over as my favorite.
I read that. That's interesting.
I think it's taken over as my favorite, but like when I was streaming and I started doing Legacy of the First Blade, which is the first set of story-based DLC, Autistic had asked me, hey, you know, how do you feel about it, and I hadn't got into it enough, and so at the time I knew there was some folks were upset with the story, but I hadn't played it enough to really be able to speak intelligently about it, and they just fixed it this week in terms of what they did, and I totally get it. Like, I totally understand. I understand why people were upset, and I think they're completely valid. I think it was a huge misstep narratively for kind of their justification. So basically what happens is the second episode of Fist of the Nerd, so you meet these two people, Darius, who's this Persian, he looks like an assassin, actually. He's got the wrist blade and everything, and his son, in my case, he had his son. If you play the wrong way, which is where you play Cassandra's brother. I don't know what the fuck his name is. In the game, he's called Deimos, but that's not his real name. His real name is, like, I don't know, Acropolis or some...
Somebody said his name was Wrong Choice.
Yeah, exactly. Like, his name is, you know, Strong Bad Baklava, whatever the fuck his name is. I don't know. If you play as him, then it's a girl. So Deimos has a... Darius has a daughter. So, first... You know, the thing about Assassin's Creed Odyssey that's so awesome is that, you know, it's up to you. If you want to, you can fuck whoever you want. If they're looking to come through, they ain't come through. It ain't no thing. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. You can be chaste. You can be gay. You can be straight. I fucked everything because I was like, fuck it. It's a game. I'm living large. I'm living the life I wish I could live. Where if it's got a pulse, I'm fucking down with it. And so that's how I played. And it's not a gay thing or a straight thing. It's a fuck everything that moves thing. That's all it is. Yeah. And Cassandra is just, you know, she's to me just seemed like the better choice. I like the character model better. I typically tend to play as women if I'm I've given the choice, just because it's something new and interesting. Excuse me. So You know, throughout Odyssey, though, the choice to have romantic relationships is entirely up to you, and they don't always happen. Like I've come on to people in Odyssey, and they're just like, you know what, I'm good, and I'm like, what? Yeah. Do you not see this?
yeah. I tried to bang everything in Mass Effect, like everything.
Right. but ultimately, it's your choice, and they actually have some really cool moments around that. Particularly, there's a storyline called Daughters of Artemis, where you have to you kill, and this is going to be a mild spoiler, but I'm fine with that. You're tasked with killing all these legendary beasts. There's like 8 legendary beasts,
right?
And when you finally do it, so there are these, you'll come across these hunting groups called the Daughters of Artemis, and most of the time out and about, they'll try to fuck your shit up, and you'll try to fuck their shit up, and you know there's like their camps, there's always something for you to do, but when you do this quest line, the whole time all these the person you're delivering these pelts to, eventually you meet her at a Daughter of Artemis camp, and she says, hey, the god sent you to us. And the way we do things is, now you have to fight me in battle, and if you kill me, you get to be the leader of the tribe. And I'm like, no, man, like we're this is a thing, like we've got a thing between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, She gets pissed off at you because she's like, you know, look, either you understand this or you don't, and then she sends you away. If you insist and are like, no, I love you, I thought you loved me too, she'll send you away and be like, don't ever, if I see you again, I'll fucking kill you. Wow. And you're like, holy shit. Like, and so that, you know, so they have stuff where it's, you know, I mean, they have things where the romance doesn't always work out, and it's still your choice whether you wanted to try to, and that just added like another wrinkle to that whole thing. So the problem
sounds like my marriage.
Did you have to kill a poison boar, or was the poison boar your marriage? Because that fucked me up.
One and the same. So
fucking, you know, Legacy of the First Blade, you know, I meet this guy and I'm just like, who is this moon-eyed motherfucker giving me these fucking sidelines? This motherfucker looked like I did in 7th grade when I was in love with Lisa Waldman, and it was not reciprocated because she and all the other girls in 7th grade were totally over the moon for the bass player for Duran Duran. And who can compare – who can compete with him? Yeah. And so I'd spend all my time just sighing and go, oh. I'm like, this is what this motherfucker looked like. He had fucking big puppy dog moon eyes, and I'm just sitting, and I'm like, look, I'm down with it. And I just was not feeling him as a character. It was like, they gave you like no reason to be down with this cat, but then they were totally forcing you to be down with him. Because if you picked every line in talking to him where you were like, look, motherfucker, I cannot make this shit clear. We're just friends, and barely that. It wasn't you didn't have the option. It doesn't matter what you did. They'd have a scene where you're sitting on a roof together and you lean together. Like, you love this guy. When you could have been telling, he would have been so confused because he'd be like, I don't understand. We shared that moment on the roof. You leaned your head up against me. You said how nice this was. And now you're like, get the fuck out my face. Like, what the fuck? But anyway, and then it turns out you had a baby with him.
Oh, Jesus.
And that you had a baby with him. And so,
So how does that work if you play the male character?
Well, there's a daughter.
So she
would have a daughter.
Gotcha.
So the thing that was frustrating, one, I can understand why people were upset, because originally the name of the trophy for when you had a daughter was called Growing Up. And I'm like, okay, you can't, like, if you're giving people the opportunity to have homosexual relationships, and then when you force them to have a kid, you then call that trophy Growing Up, you can't do that. Like, that's not cool. But then also, like, why are you forcing, like, I didn't want to have a kid. I mean, it's debatable whether I want the ones I have. You know, to then be like, in the game, be like, no, you have to. And then your choices are just like, you know, like, at the time before they fixed it, your choice was either I love you or something like, well, I wanted a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, but you don't force, like, that's not right to force people to have kids just because they want a family. You can adopt, like, whatever. Anyway, doesn't matter. But then later, so the way they fixed it is they got rid of the scene. Like, if you were cold to this cat the whole time, when you're up on the roof with him, you're just, like, hanging out on the roof. It's not anything romantic. And then when you have the baby, you have two options. And I went with the one because I was like, before they fixed it, I thought, well, all right, I don't really have much of a choice. I guess I'll just tell him I love him because, I mean, that seems better to me than being trapped in a loveless marriage. Mm-hmm. So your choice was like, I'm here because I love you, or like, this was the way I could get a family, which seemed kind of cold. So I went with, well, I love you, because I was like, all right, well, you know, I'm kind of stuck. Well, the way they fixed it is they got rid of that scene on the roof if you hadn't been reciprocating, and then they switched it to, well, I love you, and your other option was I had to secure the bloodline, which is like some eugenic shit, right? Like,
right.
And so it's like, I understand. I mean, they you know, they don't really have, you know, maybe they can't really bring the voice actors, you know, back into the studio, and they kind of have to, like, they made a mistake. They recognize they made a mistake. So they're trying to fix it in a way that kind of has, I guess, the least amount of impact on them. But I don't think it really changed things in any kind of material way.
Right.
And so, but the other thing that bugged me was I was like, yeah, but like, I didn't want a kid because like, I'm a mercenary, not like, I'm not, and it's not a situation where it's like, oh, you know, you're a soldier, you know, or a firefighter or a policeman, you know, or a police officer where, you know, you have like, you might be putting your life in danger, but it's for, you know, in the interest of service or something like that, right? And
right.
So if you have kids, obviously, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, in this situation, like, you're a fucking mercenary. Like, you kill people for money. Like, and not like, like a little, like, that's what you do. Like, you kill people for money. And so to be like, yeah, I'll have a kid, why not? You know, like, and then, you know, right. So like at one point, you know, the way you find out you have a kid is you go, you know, you're hanging out and you're in your toga or whatnot, and they're like, oh, you need to go get bread and milk because someone has a big appetite. And I'm like, I know who it is. It's the fucking kid, like, whatever. And then, yeah, you go get bread and shit. And then they're like, you know, your kid, then they show the baby and you're like, a baby, you know? And then next thing you know, I'm like, all right, time to put the armor on. I go talk to some Athenian and he's just like, you need to cut 20 Spartan throats. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I do. Like, mama's going to get paid. And I'm like, this does not seem like the right environment to raise a child. Like, like I don't get it. And this was way before, like, they do all the shit with the Templars and the assassins where you can't even be like, look, I need to secure the bloodline. I need to make sure the assassins live. You're just like, my dad was a crazy old guy. I really like triangles, you know? Got to keep that in the family anyway. All right, I got to go stab some pigs. You know, I mean, it's just... So I don't really understand, like, where they're going with it, or like in the third part, if like the Persians are gonna come and like kill your baby or some shit, like,
right.
I'm like, and on the one hand I'm like, not that I want a baby to die, but at least then you'd be like, okay, well, you fucking went with it, you went there, all right,
yeah,
you know. But yeah. Now they're just kind of like, hey, you got a baby at home, so be careful storming that fort for $100. Like, oh
yeah, that just certainly adds a whole new dynamic, to say the least, to being a mercenary.
Right. I just was like, all right, okay, sure, I guess. But, and it was weird, it literally, like, I had like a dress on, like it's like a toga. Mm-hmm. I mean, a toga is a dress, I mean, not when you get down to it. And then I was just like hanging around. And I'm like, okay, I have an achievement. I got like bounties to go. There's like mercenaries that need to be murdered. Like, guys, just walking down the street, I haven't done anything, just gonna go kill them. And I'm like, yep. Okay, cool. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll change clothes. And just by put my clothes on, fucking grab my sword and I stab, you know, Thanos the Beautiful or whatever the fuck their name was for no reason whatsoever other than this plaque at the statue told me to do it. And I will get paid. Mommy, why'd that man have to die?
Yeah.
Because he had a high price tag next to his name.
Because you want to eat.
That's right. Apparently, you like a lot of bread. So, anyway, yeah. So, we'll see. Legacy of the First Blade Part 3, I think, comes out next week. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see kind of if I feel any better or worse about it after having played the third part. I mean, from a gameplay perspective, it's, you know, it's like, it really doesn't offer anything, you know, kind of, there's some extra abilities and stuff, but it really doesn't offer anything kind of above what the main game has given you to where, you know, I feel like, I mean, the main game's got so much content in it that if you had a good time with it and haven't finished it, you know, if you finish the story and still have like a bunch of grease to go through, I don't feel like there's a need to kind of to get it. I got it because I was like, wait, Legacy of the First Blade, and he has a wrist blade? Fuck, what is that? And then, the season pass was on sale. So, gotcha. And I did start playing Sniper Elite 3, and that's fucking great.
Yeah, it is.
I did get the achievement for the 100-meter testicle shot. I was so proud.
Fuck yeah. Yep.
I was so proud. But and it's just like Sniper Elite 4. I mean, you want to talk about it, like here I'm going like Crackdown 3. It's just like Crackdown, and I'm like shooting Nazis in the face.
Yeah, I mean, once you shoot a tank in the face, how the fuck would you not want to do the exact same thing?
Exactly. Like, how would you not want to shoot more tanks and more faces?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, so we have a lot of things to talk about. I want to hear, there's a couple things that you've seen that I haven't, so real quick, let's get into those. So I was kind of surprised that you saw Alita Battle Angel. I would not have thought that was kind of your thing.
Robert Rodriguez, man.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, anytime.
Fuck. I totally forgot he did that.
Yeah, anytime a director I love tackles a subject I don't give a shit about, I at least give it an opportunity. You know, I give it the benefit of the doubt.
No, absolutely.
Same thing happened with Death Note with Adam Wingard. I was like, well, I don't know what the fuck Death Note is, and I hate anime, but if he directed a new movie, I'm going to watch it.
Right. Yeah.
This is the exact same situation. I had heard of the anime. I know it's an older one because it was like, it was the thing back when I dabbled in anime, like when I was, you know, in high school and shit like that, and buying these VHS tapes out of catalogs and whatnot. But I didn't know shit about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the trailer and I was like, you know what? Doesn't look great. I mean, I don't know. Doesn't really look like my thing. But then people, I think, seem to like it, I think, is the overall like reaction to it. I think it made some money. And as far as like, I think Death Note benefited from, for me, and I'm not saying everybody because people hated it, but I liked it. And I think that I liked it because I had no,
you had no connection to it.
No connection to it. I knew nothing of the source material. I just watched it as a movie and I liked it.
Mm.
This one, on the other hand, I feel like for most of the time I was sort of lost. And I think it's because I think they covered so much material, but it didn't necessarily all connect for me.
Oh, okay.
Having not known the source material.
Yeah, from what I was reading, they were like, some people were kind of surprised that, you know, they kind of went a certain way with it. Like they did like, you know, certain things because they were like, well, that's like a lot of ground to cover, essentially. Mm-hmm.
I can totally see that because there's a lot of story beats and they don't all connect easily. For me, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the doctor guy found her, brought her back to life. And there's a whole issue with that, with him and his ex-wife. And they sort of explain that. But then she goes to be she goes to be a bounty hunter.
Oh, okay. Like, that's right.
She's like, I have to be a bounty hunter so we can take down the bad guy. And I'm like, all right, word up. Like, I'm following this. And then she's like, now I have to join the Rollerblade League. And I was like, how the fuck does that help you take down? I don't understand. Why you wanted to be a bounty hunter and now you want to fucking be in the rollerblading league or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then she has to fight the guy again. She has to go to the place and fight again. And then she's back in the rollerblading league because that's how she gets to her end goal. And I'm like, this makes no sense. Like, the action sequences are really good. It's slow. It's the first probably hour. I was sitting there like, when is something going to happen?
Really?
Yeah, it's very slow. Very slow. And the first hour. But then the second hour, there's so much shit crammed into it that you're just like, wait, why is she doing that now?
Mm.
And then why is she? All right, but then now she's doing that. And did I miss something? I was sitting there. I was just like, I don't know. I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to enjoy the eye candy.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw you ask if it was like video gaming.
I couldn't, honestly, the trailer, I had such a hard time from the trailer getting a feel. Because, I mean, obviously, Christopher Waltz, I mean, he looked like a person. Mahershala Ali, you know, they look like people. But, you know, some of the other stuff, I just was like, I couldn't tell, you know, kind of how it would hold up.
It's like, I know you didn't like Ready Player One.
I did not.
It's like if you had mixed the online portion of Ready Player One with the people portion of Ready Player One.
Right.
And they had to interact with each other.
Right.
That's what this is like.
But it didn't look weird or nothing to have that? Because it seemed
kind
of jarring.
It was. It was very weird. Yeah, it was clearly real people interacting with CGI people. And it was really good CGI. The effects were really good.
Yeah.
But that's just something that we just can't really do yet.
Right.
You know, like, and it didn't ruin it. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I enjoyed the action parts. Like, the second hour, I was like, Jesus Christ, this is just a ride. You just kind of strap in for it. You know, the action sequences were amazing. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it's sort of weird to sort of believe that a real person has fallen in love with this android girl because she's clearly a CGI android girl.
Right, right. I mean, I figured it was one of those ones, like, when it comes out, like, on DVD, like, I'll, you know, whatever, I'll watch it. But I didn't really have... You know, it was one of those ones, like, if my son had been like, hey, I really want to go see this, I'd be like, hey, all right. You know, but, you know, he didn't say anything. I mean, if I had said to him, hey, do you want to go? He'd be like, yeah, sure. But he never mentioned it. So I was like, okay, well, I don't have to.
Right. If it hadn't been for Rodriguez, I may not have even watched it, dude, to be honest. Like, it's just not my thing. I'm not an anime person, and I'm certainly not a American real-life version of an anime person.
Yeah.
But I love him. Even his bad movies are fucking better than most other good movies. So for me, like, I just enjoy. But honestly, like, I feel like I enjoy him doing shit like Planet Terror and Desperado and From Dusk Till Dawn more than I do his
like Desperado. Big goddamn right. Absolutely. Yeah,
like, that shit's so much better to me than his big studio stuff. Which I also enjoy, but like, I don't know. I wish he sometimes would just sort of go back to his roots and start making those movies again. Cause they're so fucking good.
I always say, and nobody gets a reference, so I don't really say it in public very often, but I always say to my wife, are you a Mexican or a Mexicant?
Well, so whenever anybody ever says your favorite quote for a movie, just put your favorite quote. Doesn't have to be your favorite movie. Mine's always, my go-to is, psychos? Is that what they look like to you? Psychos do not explode when sunlight hits them. I don't give a fuck how crazy they are.
Yeah.
Like, that is my favorite line ever.
Like, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yep. It's a good time. It's just, you know what you're going into. I mean, the trailer shows you what the movie's like. So.
Right, right, right. All right, so what about Happy Death Day to you? Because Happy Death Day, you watched that movie before I did, and then I saw the trailer for Happy Death Day to you, and I was like, shit, that looks fun as fuck. I need to go. I need to see the first one. And I watched the first one, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. And in large part because the star there, I forget her name.
Jessica Roth? Rose?
Yeah,
she's amazing.
She's fantastic. I mean, just serious comedic timing and chops and you know, just extremely good, and so I loved the first one, and then when I kind of was like, okay, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the sequel, but then I still haven't seen it yet, but you have,
right?
So in a nutshell.
So I'm not going to completely spoil the first movie the way the trailer for part two did. Like, I won't spoil this one for you and my thoughts on it, but I will say, you're absolutely correct. Like, the main reason to watch these movies is Jessica Roth. I'll call her Roth. I don't know what her name is. She's fantastic. So if you go back and listen to our episode about the first one, I wasn't a huge fan of it. Mm-hmm. I felt like, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, or I knew it was PG-13, and it's just one of those things that grew on me.
It's a horror movie in the same show that people call, like, Supernatural a horror show.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, I go, it's like, I could watch Happy Death Day with my wife, and we would both, you know, have a good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it, you know, I think if you're like a huge, like, if you kind of went into it going, oh, it's more like a horror almost type of slasher thing, then I think you would be disappointed, because
right. And that's I think the way it was marketed.
It was, absolutely.
And so the fact that it was funny and it was, you know, all these different things, I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that. And then, but the more, because, like, you know, of course I bought it because I'm an idiot. I buy things that I
bought
like.
It too. I hadn't even seen it. I bought it. It was like $10, and I was like, "Fuck!" I bought it based on the trailer for the second one. Mm-hmm. That's how much I liked the trailer for the second one. I was like, "Oh shit, that looks fucking hilarious!"
Yeah, right. When they showed the trailer for two, it showed all the funny parts from the first one. But right. When they showed the trailers for the first one before it came out, they didn't.
Right, right.
But anyway, it ended up growing on me, like, fairly quickly. Like, every time I watched it, I liked it a little more, and I really liked it. So this one, if you watch the trailer, it looks like it's going to be a very similar movie, only mm-hmm. happening to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
They go away from that really quickly.
Oh, good. Because I like that idea, but I also, you know, I kind of want something different.
Yeah, this one goes away from the horror slasher stuff
mm-hmm.
really early on, and it sort of becomes this sci-fi slash dramedy. There's
totally
lots.
Fine with that. Yeah, totally yeah. fine with that.
It goes in a completely different – so what would have been – what I think would not have been a great idea – to do the same movie over again, only with a different character
mm-hmm.
And have no explanation as to why this keeps happening and all this shit. It sort of begins that way and quickly goes into, all right, Tree knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, this is going to keep fucking happening, asshole. What did you do?
Right.
Retrace your steps. And it becomes... And I didn't know this because this one almost turns into this comic book level kind of movie. Scott Lobdell created this series. I had no idea.
Oh, I didn't either.
You know, I read his X-Men comics since I was fucking 10 years old. You know, I mean, like, he wrote X-Men forever when I was a kid. So it completely makes sense, the direction it goes in. I think that neither one of these movies are very long. And so I feel like even if they don't make another one, as a double feature, this is going to be a fucking phenomenal, like,
right.
2.5 hours, 3 hours. Like, you just watch them both together.
Yeah.
Because she's still amazing. And while she is funny, she also brings the fucking drama, dude. Like, she is very talented.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And that's one of the things that, you know, I thought was really good about the first one is, like, when she kind of starts to think, like, why is this happening? And then she's reminded, like, particularly the stuff with her dad. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then you kind of realize why she hates birthdays and stuff. Like, I mean, it was really, really well done.
Yeah, this brings in all new ideas, and but it also builds on all of that stuff, the stuff mm-hmm. with her parents and the stuff with her, seeing who she is. And there's also funny shit, like, because,
right.
you know, they add in certain characters from the first movie behave differently in this one, and so there's like a level of comedy there too. I think it's a little jarring if you go from the first one and then watch this one. It's so different that some people might be turned off by it, but I think at the end of the day, if you watch, like, the two together, it's going right. to be viewed as, like, this really cool thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, they one of the things that I liked about the first one was they didn't explain why it kept happening to her. And I was totally okay with that.
Yeah.
But that only lasts for, like, you're going to start making multiple movies. Well, at some point, you're going to have to explain what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was like. The whole thing when it started, I was like, all right, I really don't need another one of these, only with just with a different guy. And so the fact that they address that so early and show you that, yeah, we're going in a different direction this time. So while it's different, this really makes sense.
Right. Awesome. Can't wait. Good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. All right. So now for the movies that we have seen, which one do you want to do first?
I would like to do Lords of Chaos last. So
okay. Okay. That works. All right. So first movie, it is, I don't know how you would describe it. I think if you were to read the title, you think this is going to be some fucking badass
pulp. It sounds like a Grindhouse movie.
Grindhouse pulp.
Yep.
It is a rumination on getting old and,
yep,
and losing things that are important to you in life. That, yep. With 5 minutes of with a Grindhouse title and 5 minutes of Grindhouse action, yeah. And that is the man who killed Hitler and then killed Bigfoot.
Yep.
Here's the thing about this movie: if you like Sam Elliott, and who the fuck does not like Sam Elliott? There's a fantastic performance here.
Yep.
I just don't know if you're going to stick around long enough to see all of it.
Really? Oh, I loved it.
I was just like kind of going. It's not that I didn't like it, and I knew I had read reviews of it where they were like, you know, it's a dour film.
Yeah,
you know, it is not. And I knew it wasn't what, you know, the title kind of leads you based on, you know, what it leads you to believe. But
even the first trailer for it sort of plays into that a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't know. For me, it was just, I mean, it's a very slow and deliberate movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because my attention span kind of wandered, I had a hard time. Like, I still don't know, like, what happened to his girlfriend. Like, but you really enjoyed it?
I did. I loved it. I thought it was great. Like, I'm excited for the Blu-ray. To watch it again, like I pre-ordered it. To be perfectly honest, I pre-ordered it based on the title. Like, I was excited for it before I ever saw a trailer. I saw who was in it, and I read that title, and I was like, "Yep, that's my kind of movie." And I almost really kind of like that. It wasn't at all what I expected, but I also had the benefit of having read reviews and first impressions before I got to see it, so I knew what to expect. But they were like, how could a movie called this be this boring? And I was never bored, man. I thought Sam Elliott was fucking fantastic.
I thought he was great, too. I guess I could somewhat understand him feeling like his life didn't have meaning, but I don't understand. I don't know. I guess at that point I had a hard time getting.
Right. So I think that there are several themes sort of that there's no secret from anybody who listens to the show, and you know me, like, I'm having a sort of rough time. And I think that maybe it spoke to me sort of based on where I'm at right now. But the whole, what's the meaning of all this? And then the other thing, and I thought, is it Ron Livingston?
Yeah.
Peter from Office Space. He was fucking fantastic.
Sure.
Because
it's like the guy from the guy from Canada. He's in The Magicians. He's great.
Yeah. 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 So I loved his character so much because he had heard his grandfather or whatever tell the stories of this guy. And he almost sounded like a superhero.
Right.
Right. And he'd had all these things. And he's like, man, I don't know what to believe. My grandfather basically thought you were a superhero. And then when Sam Elliott was like, look, here's how it really happened.
That part I thought was really good. Like, yeah, I mean, the here they, like, you know, that was, I thought it was interesting the way they kind of did the, yeah, I mean, he did in fact kill Hitler, but, and then the way they kind of framed that, I thought was really well done. Absolutely.
Yes. It was sort of like, it's like on Stand By Me, right? When they're in the junkyard and Chopper shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Because Chopper was this urban legend of this hellhound who chewed the balls off of anybody who was caught inside. And then they ran, and it was just a dog.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so I thought that was really cool. And honestly, I expected when he did go into the quarantine zone to hunt Bigfoot, I didn't think it was going to be Bigfoot.
Oh, really?
No, I was like, well, it's going to be a fucking a monkey or something. Like, uh-huh. I don't even know. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is going to be nothing, but it's going to be the fact that he's going to become an urban legend all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because of how they're covering up what's really going on and shit like that. Man, I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
It did have some good moments. Like when he goes and Ron Livingston's like, hey, I pulled from my private stock. And he's just like, yes. That gun, this that scope, this yep. knife, that's it. I was like, that's yep. fucking badass. Or like at the end when he goes to his brother's granddaughter's play and he's like, you know, all the butterflies are dead this time of year. Because like, what the hell? Like, but like there were parts of it like I didn't understand. Like I mentioned, I didn't understand. My attention span wavered. I didn't understand what happened. To his girlfriend when he before because he had a girlfriend, he was in love with her, and then they went off he went off to war, and then what, like,
so they said that she ended up getting a job. She's a teacher, and so she got a job closer to where her parents were because her parents sort of needed her to be around.
Okay.
And then they did mention that she died young.
Okay. But I didn't get the impression that she died like while he was at war or anything like that, but maybe
I think she did.
Yeah. But then,
because that's why he burned all the shit.
Right.
When he finally got back and realized she was gone. Like, he burned all of the stuff.
But I also didn't understand, like, why, like, I know they faked his death, but then he's back, like, in town, you know,
yeah,
where he lived, going to, like, the play. And yeah. I was like, what? Like, that, why would they fake his death if he's also, just fucking running around, going to school plays and shit?
Right, right. And now we're spoiling the whole thing, but yeah, like, the box.
Right.
I still don't know what was in the box.
I thought
it was like a pistol and he was trying to not kill himself.
Yeah.
But then when he found out his brother buried the box in the casket with his body, I was like, well, it's not a pistol then because he wouldn't care because he'd just get another gun.
Right.
So I still am unclear. Maybe it was the Dick Tracy.
Could be. Yeah.
Comics maybe.
Yeah. Well, stuff like that. I think, you know, having a little mystery of like what's in the box. Well, yeah.
Right, it's up to interpretation and shit like that, and that's fine. I kind of was like, the whole time I thought it was him getting his pistol out of from under the bed, and the dog kept like, all right, boy.
Maybe that dog was awesome.
Yes, he was, yes.
I mean, it's a movie that I think I would like to watch again because, you know, sometimes I don't, I mean, I knew what this movie was going into it, but I think I still, like, I don't know if I just wasn't in the right headspace for it or right. what. But
I think that's part of why I liked it so much is just because how I feel right now. And you know, like Sam Elliott reminds me of my dad and shit like that. Like it was the whole thing for me. Like it was just sort of this whole experience and the performances were so good. And then it does give you a fucking he's hunting Bigfoot. And even that was cool where he thought, you know, his first shot had gotten him.
Right.
And he's like, and so he's like, they're not going to get your body, old man. And he's holding his hand and shit. And
yeah, and then the thinker's
going nuts.
Like, yeah.
Like, that shit was great.
Yeah. It's like, that thing does not care about you as much as you care about it.
Sure does.
yeah. Okay. So next one, Lords of Chaos, which is a... I guess it's up to you to decide how much truth you want to put into this dramatization of King Grunschnack or Griswold, whatever the fuck's name is. So in the 90s, when Mayhem, the Norwegian black metal band, came about, and Euronymous there started the band, and then... ended up getting, and this is not a spoiler, this is like all, it happened a while ago, stabbed to death 37 times by his, the bass player, Varg, or King, what was his name? King Lord Grunschnack, or Grun, something like that. Anyway. So if you'd seen the documentary Until the Light Takes Us, you had some kind of exposure to Varg already because he was one of two subjects. And honestly, yeah. I feel like, well, we'll get into it in The Light Takes Us. And this is a, again, I don't know, because it's up to you to decide kind of how much of it is truth and how much you want to believe and what. It's based on a book called Lords of Chaos that mm-hmm. talks about that stuff. So Rory Culkin plays Euronymous, and I think the guy who directed actually was like in Bathory or something like that. I think he's actually was in like a black metal band, if I remember correctly, but I could be wrong. So you wanted to wait until last. Is that because you loved it? You didn't like it?
My favorite movie of the year so far.
Really?
100%. Yep. It's going to be hard to top it.
You think so?
I do, yeah. I don't know. Of the things I know that are still coming this year, nothing will top this movie.
Okay, why? Because I genuinely, I don't know. I talked to my wife about this way more than she wanted to hear about it. Because I was so frustrated with this movie. And after I saw Until the Light Takes Us, and I read more about Euronymous, I am even more frustrated and pissed off by this movie. Okay. I genuinely do not understand what it was trying to say about him and what he did and how am I supposed to be sympathetic towards what happened to him?
No, they're all terrible people, all of them.
But they make it so that they want you to feel bad
for Euronymous, yeah,
for what happened to him. And if you just go by the movie, and this is the problem. The problem when you make a movie about something that actually happened, you can't help but start, you read about it, and then that colors your view of things. If this was just a movie about a guy who started a band and ended up getting stabbed to death by a band member because of whatever, that would be different. But this was a real person, and there's people who can talk about what he felt and how he talked and the things he believed in. And the movie, this movie, I don't feel like presents a truthful version of this guy, but uses that non-truthful version to try to get the audience to feel bad for what happened to him. And anytime anybody gets murdered, I think you're okay with, like, I feel like this movie was like, look, this guy, he was doing all this dark shit. It was just a way to sell records. It wasn't actually who he was as a person. And he ended up kind of getting in with this guy who took it super seriously, maybe didn't have a lot going on, and killed him as a result of it. And we're supposed to feel bad for him because this happened to him. But if you read about him in real life, you're like, this guy had nothing but disgust for other people. He wanted the music he espoused and the things he talked about. He was like, no, people suck. Fuck them. Well, at that point, then, okay, I guess if you want people to suffer, then you suffering and dying is, we should be okay with it.
I feel like having watched I watched the documentary at work the other day, and I had never seen it, and I'd only read about them before. But based on the things that I read, I sort of felt like the movie made you want to sympathize for him even more. But like, I feel like the whole him being all talk, I think that's how he really was.
I don't know, because I read some stuff before where he was talking about, maybe not necessarily with like the Satanism and stuff, but when he talked about like, you know, kind of how it sounded like, and again, you're kind of going off of what other people are saying at this point, right? Like, he really admired like Stalinism, and not because he was like a communist, but because under those regimes, people suffered.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, that's cool. That's how it should be.
Like,
you're saying you think that part was all talk.
I do. I think that he had created, because like, you know, the movie touches on it, and I think that the history sort of backs it up, that he sort of created Norwegian black metal, and it was supposed to be this darkness. Like, it was all about the darkness and the coldness and all this. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, dude opened a record store. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to sell the image more so than he and believing in this stuff. And I think that the fact that they even say, he even said, like, you know, I don't know if, obviously nobody recorded him being murdered, but when Rory Culkin's like, I'm just all talk, and like his friends are like, yeah, he just talks. He takes credit mm-hmm. for all these other, his disciples, for lack of a better term, doing this fucked up shit. I think that 100% was him doing it. He was a businessman, I think, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that, sure, if you're wearing corpse paint and your music is satanic and you're burnt, and he did burn churches and shit like that.
Right.
I think at the end of the day, dude, you're selling an image still. Because at the same time, if he's burning churches, then why is he doing fucking phone interviews with Krang and shit? Like, I think,
yeah,
I think a bit of that was just he's putting forth this persona because he owns a record label, and he's you know, he needs other people who to listen to that shit and fall in line with it, because at the end of the day, he's got to sell records and he needs musicians to do that. And so mm-hmm. if talking about this stuff brings out those fucked up people, then, you know, and again, I don't know. I just watched the documentary and watched the movie, and the book's on the way. I ordered the book on Amazon, but
I'd be interesting to hear how you feel about it, because, I mean, that's the one piece I don't have, is having read the book. And I don't know if I would, although I'm kind of curious now to – I know more. I mean, okay, look, I am not a metal fan. Like,
Right.
I from a musical standpoint, like, I kind of – you know, like, the riffs and stuff, you know, like, whatever. It all kind of goes into the background. But the singing, I don't understand it. Like, they could be singing a recipe for chocolate chip cookies, and you would have
that no happened idea. On a Tool record, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it did. There's a...
You know, all Tool fans are assholes, right?
I heard that. No, there's a Tool record, where, and there's just one song on there, and it sounds like the most evil thing you've ever heard in your life, and then Maynard does the lyrics in German. And so a friend of ours' grandmother was German, and she was fluent. So we were like, what does it say? And we were so like, we couldn't wait for these, like, mm-hmm. these lyrics that were going to be like the deepest, darkest things you've ever heard. And she starts laughing like as soon as it comes like on.
A schnitzel.
And she's like, it's a brownie recipe. It's like, what? now, whether or not that's 100% accurate or well known, I don't know, but that's what she told us. Uh-huh. And like, I've never forgotten that.
Right.
But again, like, it's like, I love metal. Like, I'm into it. I love, because metal music, specific metal music, it's like, it's a performance. It's like guar. I love guar.
Yeah. Well, guar, I mean, if somebody's going to dress, okay, here's the difference. Right. And this is part of my, and I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't listen to metal music, so I don't, like the guy, like, Pear Death there, like, fucking putting a dead bird in a bag. I'm like, this is just ridiculous. Like, I mean, it's silly. It's silly. Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously, he himself wasn't silly. Obviously, that dude was in, like, I mean, that part of the movie where he
My kills man himself, had issues. Yeah, it was fucking hard to watch.
That was an absolutely, heartbreaking is the absolute right word for that. Because I mean, that guy was in a lot of pain, and he didn't really know, you know, I found it interesting that they chose to spend as much time, dramatizing his suicide as they did, simply because we don't know what happened. Nobody was there. And just that look on his face when he first slits his first wrist, almost like, oh my God, I didn't know this is what it was going to be.
Right.
Well, I'm in it now. You know, that I was like, I mean, you just felt terrible for the guy, like, absolutely terrible for the guy, because you're just like, look, this guy, I mean, clearly he had issues. He didn't really have a good way, maybe a healthy way or anybody to talk to of dealing with it. This is how he dealt with it. And then it finally just got to the point. And I mean, you could argue maybe he just felt like that this is like kind of the way he had to, or this is the only way he really felt like he knew how, or he didn't even plan on doing it. He just kind of did that one thing and then was like, nope, I'm in it now. But
yeah, it was hard to watch. And I also thought it was interesting. And they didn't touch on any of this in the documentary at all. But they sort of portrayed a lot of Euronymous and the things he did after that is like him trying to cope with the loss of his friend. And I wonder if that's true or not, because like there's obviously no way we'll ever know, because
– And that's why I'm curious if the book talks about that more.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I can't wait to get into it. Like I knew none of this shit until, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, where I got on the internet and I went down like a black metal rabbit hole, because I don't like death metal.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, somehow I got on the subject on like Wikipedia or whatever. And the next thing I know, I'm reading about Mayhem and this, the album and cover. And I, like, Jesus right. Christ.
I think I did the same thing and I ended up going and I ended up watching the documentary, because I don't listen to that music. I don't like any of it. I don't.
Yeah, me neither. It's not my music. So like it's funny, the music a few times, or not the movie, but the documentary touches on how upset they were that for a little bit death metal sort of got Americanized and sort of almost went mainstream almost. And those poser death metal bands, are the only ones I'd ever heard.
And the thing that's funny about that is, to me, is, and that's the thing that frustrated me, is like at the end, right, where they have that like wanted, you know, like Matt Miller type of thing, where he's like, you know, don't feel bad for me, I created true Norwegian. And I'm like, nobody would call it fucking true Norwegian death metal. And then he's like, what'd you do, poser? And I'm like, you're a poser. You yes, yourself. He was. Said yep. that this was all a fucking performance. Like, it wasn't even real. And then you're going to, like, I mean, yes, you invented a style of music. And I do wish, though, that they had gotten more into that, because it's like, yeah, I came up with the style of playing. And I was like, well, what was it? And the documentary was like, yeah, he had this way of playing notes nobody ever heard before. And I was like, I don't, well, what is it? But, you know, I don't know. Like, I really didn't know how I was supposed to feel about this guy, and whether or any, I mean, the one thing we could take away from the documentary and from the movie is that Varg is a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit and he's full of shit.
He's absolutely like, when you hear him
telling that story,
oh my God, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Exactly. You're telling me he kicked you in the chest and you're like, no, I have to stab. I don't know if you read this, but in his trial, first of all, that scene too, like, here's the thing, if you don't know anything about this, if you just are like, I'm not gonna watch a documentary, I don't know that any of this is real, and you just watch this as a horror movie about a guy who makes a death metal band and then comes to a bad end, I think it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah,
for me it started to fall apart because I knew stuff about it already.
Right.
And I felt like that made it somewhat inconsistent, because you don't have to love someone to feel bad that they're getting stabbed to death in their fucking apartment, or to be horrified at how they die, right? Like,
and
that
how goddamn graphic that scene was. Like, that was one of the most realistic looking and
awful.
Brutal.
He's fucking making the Ovaltine or whatever.
Yeah, right? But just Jesus Christ, man.
Like, but anyway.
The violence.
Yes.
Jesus.
But this fucking Varg piece of shit talking about how in his trial, he said that most of the he only stabbed him in the head because he thought he was going to be attacked, and all of the other stab wounds came because a lamp broke.
Right.
And yeah. I was like,
his wounds were from a broken lamp.
Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me? And that was.
After I stabbed him the first few times, he tried to flee the apartment, and I thought he was going downstairs because I thought the other guy that I had went with was in on it. So that's when I stabbed him in the head and the other 72 times. I was like, fuck you, man. Who's buying that?
No
Who
one.
Do you think is listening to that shit and be like, you know what? He's right. It was self-defense.
Right.
Like,
right.
You don't stab anybody.
37 times.
37 times and twice in the skull in self-defense.
That was fucking – that was gnarly as shit.
Yes, it was. And then, unfortunately, the maximum prison sentence in Sweden is 20 years. So this dude, he's out and he has a YouTube channel.
He has a YouTube channel?
He does. Yep. He has. He did three videos based on. He hasn't seen the movie. They sent him the script. Apparently, and he's such a piece of shit. Apparently, he was really upset. I didn't watch all three videos. I've just read shit about him having watched the videos because I refused to go to his
clicks for nothing.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't
piss on me if my hair was on fire.
Apparently, one of his takeaways from the movie is that he's upset that a Jewish character played him in the movie. A Jewish person played his character in the movie. And then he heard about the death sequence and he, again, backed up his bullshit story. Mm-hmm. And then he made fun of the chocolate milk thing. But other than that, I don't know what else he took away from it.
I honestly don't give a shit. One of the things I thought was funny, and this is okay, so I don't know, maybe I just am too stupid and I just kept getting in the way of myself. I can understand just from logistical is the right term, but like asking American actors to pull off like a Norwegian accent, it might falter, but then you go, well, was that also like on purpose where they were trying to be like, look, this was all fake. Like we're going to make not just midway, like the flattest accent possible. Like was that on purpose to be like, look, this was all bullshit. These guys kind of pattern themselves as being these fucking lords of chaos, and they were just really no different than some Midwestern teenager. You know,
I don't know if that was the why they went that way with the movie, but I think that's absolutely the case. That's mm-hmm. why I think that Euronymous guy, I almost sort of can relate to the guy a little bit because. You know, I was a teenager who was into metal and shit, and I thought that, people needed to be afraid of me, and I could say fucked up things, and I didn't necessarily really mean them. Right. But, that was part of being a metalhead, you know, whatever. Like, you're expected to wear these clothes and this things like that, and sort of I got into that sort of persona.
Right.
And it's silly now, but thankfully I didn't get stabbed to death when I was 25 years old.
Right. Here's the one thing, though, that I really felt like was somewhat of a missed opportunity is when he is talking to Varg in the restaurant and he says, like, yeah, we're going to go on tour. Like, he realizes Varg is, like, not thrilled, and he's like, yeah, man, you can be in the bait, we're gonna go on tour. And Varg's like, we're not gonna go on tour. Like, what did that, like, we make music for like a select group, like a small group of people. And Euronymous goes, no, man, like, that's all like an act. Like, I told people they couldn't have something, so they wanted it. At that moment, I wanted Varg, like, some kind of look on his face to realize that is exactly what happened to him. You wanted to be a part of this band because he told you in the kebab shop that you were a poser. Right. Like, the only reason – because of the Scorpions patch. Like, that is – like I wanted something where you could be – where he would be like, you know, almost that realization. So maybe you could feel somewhat bad for him too. Like, he would recognize that he also got played. Not to say that you want to feel bad for him. He did a horrible thing. He had no excuse for it. Mm-hmm. As much as he could be like, well, he said he was going to kill me, which obviously was all just, you know.
Oh, yeah. That was that was funny how the idiot friend, because that dude was clearly an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one who's like, oh, no, he was playing like Nintendo or something.
Right, like, right. And then later on, he's like, no, I don't really think he meant it. You know. Right. But like when you watch the documentary and they talk about how the guy, you know, he killed a gay guy. He's like, oh, yeah, like I really give him a lot of credit for that. And I was like, wow, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that was interesting, too, that they didn't sort of. So the movie sort of didn't play that up the way the documentary did, because a lot of the movie, I think, and I read that like the movie takes aspects from the book, aspects mm-hmm. from the documentary, and sort of creates it to be what it is. So it'll be interesting to read the book to see, because I was like, man, these, like, watching the movie, like you said, like they're trying to make you feel sympathetic for certain people, but then watching the documentary, I was like, everybody in this is a piece of shit. Like, everybody's terrible.
Right. I mean, except for the guy, like that other musician which I don't really understand. I mean, I think it's because of the documentary, like I'm not part of the scene and the documentary came out a while ago. So I didn't really understand, like, okay, well, I guess he was just a guy and he's just kind of irritated that there's an art show.
I was sort of confused as to why they didn't talk to Varg more or other people who were from the movie. And I was like, this guy was just in one of the other bands.
And I was like, I think it's because the documentary wasn't necessarily about Mayhem. True. It was about
black metal, right?
The
music
and the scene, yeah, more than anything else.
Yeah, that's true.
But wow, I'm not. I mean, I'm not surprised that you like it, because I think that, like I said, I don't know if I just got my own way or what, but.
So at the end of the day, even if regardless of how you feel about the characters, the subject matter, I mean, it was a very fucking well-made movie.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was really well shot. The performances were really good. It had some funny moments, and it knew to kind of make fun. Like when he goes out in the car in his underwear, it's like, it's fucking amazing. And he's like, "Hey, I'm broke." And he just like chucks the tape at him. Like, yes. Like, can you imagine, like, if like your idol comes out and tells you that you are the real fucking deal? Right. Good luck with that. You know.
Yeah. Right. And then the lady's like, "Will you shut the fuck up, please?"
Yeah.
And then he just walks back in.
Bro, yeah, the fucking Salvation Army singer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, so I like Rory Culkin. I like him, and
he was great.
I've seen him in. In fact, he did that that kind of Waco miniseries, and I thought that was great. He was really the
kid in Bullethead too, right? The dog movie we watched.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, the junkie. Yeah.
He's very good.
Yeah. So I mean, but I think that's it. I think if you, anytime I find out like a movie is kind of based on a thing, I'll go and research that thing, and not because I'm looking to like ruin it for myself. It's nothing like that.
Sure.
But when I got done watching this movie, I was like, I genuinely don't know how I was supposed to feel about these people.
Yeah.
And that made it very frustrating for me, because I just was like, I don't get it. And then when I read it was just nagging. It was like, man, I've seen this. Like, I saw this documentary. Like, this is not a great dude, like,
right.
You know, and then so to you know, and then I watched the documentary, and then I, you know, whatever, watched the, you know, or not watch, but you know, see, I started reading up on it. And I was like, fuck, you shouldn't have done that,
right? So I wonder, like, having seen the documentary first, because I didn't,
yeah,
and I wonder if I would have reacted differently, because yeah, I was like. The documentary, I was like, man, everybody in this is a piece of shit, more or less. And having read the story, I was like, dude, that's fucked up. But that's so, like, that's pretty fucking metal. Like, that's how stupid I was. But I was like, the lead singer blowing his brains out and then making the album cover. I was like, that's the most metal thing I've ever heard. You know what I mean? Like, even if it was fake, because I still wasn't sure if it was fake. I was like, did that really happen? And so,
yeah, I mean, have you
yeah,
seen,
yeah, like, obviously, right. But yeah, but like, you know, I read this 6 years ago and I was like, yeah, you can, you know, people, you
yeah,
know,
they talk
perpetrate these, yeah, these things and this image, especially if you're talking about black metal, that's the most black metal thing ever. Right. So, but you know, that's part of the fucking movie, him trying to be as black metal as possible. So, you know, he takes a picture and he's supposedly, obviously, he did not eat brains, but like he said he did and shit, and said those things were his skull fragments, even though they were chicken bones or whatever.
But I read that they actually were.
I did too, but that's another thing. Like, I'm ready to read the book, because, you know, the movie, they said chicken bones, and then the documentary says that it was skull, so they got chicken bone from something. So it's like,
well, that's the thing, but that's when you go, okay, but how much of this though is the filmmaker, you know, going, because I mean, they actually said in the name of it that it's, you know, like the name of the movie, that it's like the lies or the whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. The truth, based on the truth, the lies and what the fuck really happened or whatever.
Right. Exactly. Like, so I, you know, you have to kind of go, all right, well, I don't know. You won't know.
Nope.
Because the subject of it is dead, and you're relying on people's memory, which is, we all know, is just a horrible, nobody remembers shit correctly,
right.
or you're relying on you know, the secondhand, you know, kind of knowledge of people who also probably have pretty inconsistent memories about the whole thing.
Well, that and also people trying to perpetrate an image and
exactly.
make a career out of this shit. And yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
I don't know. At the end of the day, I fucking loved it.
Well, there you go. That's all that matters.
I watched it twice. I can't wait to watch it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I watched it twice. Wow. I watched it twice in one day. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it here, and then I went to Tommy's for a little bit, and then after I got back from the store, I watched it again.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I bought the book, so.
Well, there you go. You're going to buy some Mayhem records? I like when he's like D Satan, and he's like spelling it. He's like D I E. You know, like,
right. No, no shit. Like, full disclosure, I was on Amazon looking up Mayhem records and like shit like that just to see what was out there. Like, I'm just curious. And like, I did find somebody on Amazon is selling a copy of the original CD with Dead on the cover. It's like $700.
No, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit, huh?
I'm not buying that, but yeah, yeah. I looked up records and just to see what was out there, and it's there. A lot of their shit's out there, so
wow.
I'm not buying it, but it's there.
Right. Well, all right. Well, there you go. It's a full show.
Yeah, it was.
Folks have a lot to watch and play. And
it'll be. I'll be interested to see if anybody who we know that tends to watch the things we talk about watches this movie. And please, if you do, please let us know. Like, what do you think? Like, read up on it, watch the movie. Like, I'm genuinely curious about other people's opinions, because everybody that I know that's seen it has fucking loved it.
I think that, I mean, it's a tough movie to watch. I mean, it's, you know, there's really only three violent scenes in it, but they are extremely violent.
Yes.
So if you kind of, you know, maybe prepare yourself for that. But whereas, you know, The Man Who Killed Hitler, and I mean, anybody could watch that.
That's a drama.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. All right. Well, honestly, I don't know what the next big thing would be. I know Us is out, but that didn't come out towards the end of March. And then Captain Marvel, but I know you don't give a fuck about Captain Marvel.
So. I don't. And holy shit, what a dumpster fire that's turned into.
Yeah. I think it's going to be great, personally. But
oh, the movie, yes. But I mean, the whole, like, the fucking internet and then fucking 2019, here we go again with this shit.
Yeah, so. It's fucking neckbeards. Just can't let people be happy with shit. Just, you know what? If you're obese, living in your mom's basement with a neckbeard, making social justice warrior videos on YouTube, just fuck right off. Turn your fucking camera off. Go get a real goddamn job, you fucking racist piece of shit. That's all I got to say about that.
All right, then, Forrest.
That's right. Well, whatever it is, you know, hopefully you'll be here with us in the next couple weeks when we choose to talk about it. So for myself and Mitch, this has been episode, I don't even know anymore. Last one was 66, so I guess it's 67, but who knows what it'll be when I post it.
That's right. 67 and a half. Exactly. This is a long one.
This has been episode 67 of Powered by Werewolves. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. And hopefully you'll be here with us in the next couple weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you again. Good night. Found the button already because I'm like Hey-o. That. Have a good evening.